Hello, everybody, and welcome to this new episode of Spanish Loops. This is Francisco Glaria from Traveling Steps, and on the other side, I hope my colleague and friend Jorge is there.
Jorge, Jorge, yes, me.
That's
Hello,
you yourself.
Francisco. Yes, this is Jorge Roman from Traveling with Jorge. How are you doing, Francisco? How are things on your side of the world?
Well, over here, everything is peaceful, everything is okay, so hey, everything is fine. How about on your side?
Nothing to complain about, just happy and alive and kicking.
Good enough for me.
And that is something to do with the theme that we're going to talk about today, especially the kicking expression, because we're going to talk about a character of the Spanish history that it's a little bit shady. The history is not very clear. Also, that person sometimes was in one side of the politicians, and some of the times he was in the other side of the politicians in his time. Okay, guys, we're going to talk about El Cid Campeador, the Cid.
Well, probably a lot of our listeners might recall the movie done with Charlton Heston and Sophia Loren that was called El Cid.
I knew you were going to mention that. What a cheesy movie. Come on.
Well, it was a very cheesy movie, but hey, it made him world famous.
Yeah, that's right. And it was recorded here in the lands of Castilla. Yeah, it was Sophia Loren, beautiful at the time, her best. And also Charlton Heston, also at his best, you know, when they were young and gorgeous, both of them. And well, I would say that the movie resembles a little bit the name of the person, but historically doesn't have much to do with it. It's just a Hollywood movie, isn't it?
It's a Hollywood movie, and it's just an excuse that gives us to talk about this national hero, who was Rodrigo Díaz de Vivar. That was his real name. Everybody knows him as El Cid Campeador. But yeah, his real name was Rodrigo Díaz de Vivar. On this podcast, we're going to try to refer to him as El Cid, because today we're going to be talking about a lot of kingdoms and kings and this, because as you said, Jorge, he changes from one side to the other. So it's a little bit complex to follow today. So his name from now on is El Cid. Okay?
Okay, perfect.
So let's set in the time period where we are. Right now, we are in the year 1043. He is born the mid of the 11th century, and he will die in the year 1099. So we're talking mid, second part of the 11th century. Spain has been conquered by the Moors. In Spain, all the way in the north, we have some Christian kingdoms. We have the Christian kingdom of Pamplona or Navarra, where I come from, the Christian kingdom of Asturias, and the most important of them all at this moment, the Kingdom of León. El Cid is born here in León. Well, he's born in the city of Vivar, but in the Kingdom of León. His father, Diego, he is working for the Crown of León. If the name of the king at this moment is Ferdinand I of León. We're not talking Isabel and Ferdinand. Fernando of León, okay? Is that he is born in this moment, and his father, although he's not very wealthy, he's working for the crown, for the king, and El Cid, he is going to be, as a kid, around all of those people. So here is where El Cid is growing up, and he becomes the very good friend of the firstborn son of the king. This son is called Sancho.
Okay. Sancho, is that something to do with the Sancho from Navarra?
No. This is another Sancho.
Okay, good.
I mean, yes, there are a lot of Sanchos. There's a lot of Garceses. There's a lot of... We're not very good at our royal names. They're all named the same. The first one of Castile, the first one of León, the first... Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they become very good friends. And when Sancho and El Cid grow up, Sancho is going to make El Cid a knight, and he is going to become the, let's say, the bodyguard of the king. And so the king, Sancho, really has El Cid as his sidekick. I mean, they're always together. They're very, very good friends. Okay? The king, Ferdinand, dies. And this is when things start getting complicated because the king has three sons and two daughters. The problem is that his first son, Sancho, he does not get the kingdom of León. The king divides the kingdom of León and gives a part of it, which is the kingdom of Castilla, a small kingdom, to the oldest son. He gives everything, the big thing, to his second son. The kingdom of León is going to Alfonso. And Alfonso is the one that is going to get the title of emperor. So as you can imagine, Sancho is not very happy with all of this.
I bet he wasn't.
The third son, García, he will get the kingdom of Galicia. Galicia, it is the land that is northwest of Spain, right on top of Portugal. So the kingdom of León is going to be divided in three parts. The top part of Portugal, Galicia, goes for García. A little part on the east is going to go to Sancho, Castilla, and the big land is going to go to Alfonso, the second one.
Let's remind our listener here that in those days, the borders, they were not at all as they are today. So Portugal, per se, did not exist because let's remind everybody that the Kingdom of León, a big portion of the Kingdom of León, it was practically what is the half north of what today is Portugal. So it was a big piece of land.
It was a big piece of land. But he was the one who got less, by the way.
Okay, now we know a little bit about that mess that was done with the brothers. But what about the daughters? Two of them. Did they, were they satisfied or what happened?
Well, they were happy because being women, they got a piece of land. The older daughter, Urraca, she got the city of Zamora. And the little one, Elvira, she got the city of Toro. Okay, so, hey, it was not kingdoms, but they could do something. Okay, so, and for 11th century, it was a good deal for the girls.
Oh, well, okay.
Anyway, as you can imagine, this is not a good situation. You have divided the kingdom in three parts, and now you're not there anymore, and the brothers are jealous one of each other. So we start having some getting togethers. El Cid, at this moment, he's always with Sancho, with his friend. Sancho gets together with Alphonse, so Castile and León. They're going to get together and they're going to fight the brother, García, to conquer Galicia.
Okay, Francisco, let me say this. I have to say this. I'm sorry. Now I know where the scripts from Falcon Crest and Dynasty came from.
Well, I always say that Middle Ages are the most fun part. It's like a soap opera. It's like everybody hates everybody.
Okay, please. I'm sorry. I had to say that.
Oh, no. Anyway, the thing is that Sancho and Alfonso, they conquer Galicia and García is out of the way. By the way, I didn't mention it, but all of this kingdom, León, Castilla, Galicia, Zamora, all of this is a Christian kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
When they split it, they're still Christian kingdoms. Okay?
Yes.
Everybody has to understand that from this kingdom to the south, we have Muslims. Okay, the caliphates of the Muslims.
Okay, so what's El Cid or this character doing? What's he playing around in all these places?
So there we go. What he does, he's an amazing military, he's an amazing warrior, and he is working for Sancho that when Sancho gets together with his brother Alphonse to go conquer Galicia, he joins them and he is the leader of all of these. Once Galicia is taken, now Sancho is the older brother and he's the intriguing one, right? Now he wants to conquer León. There's going to be a lot of fights against it, okay? Sancho, helped by El Cid, attack the kingdom of León and they win. So Alphonse is sent to Toledo, okay? Right in the center of Spain. He goes to Toledo. He's expelled from his own kingdom and now Sancho, he is the most important king in Spain. He is king of Castile, he is king of León, and he is king of Galicia. And El Cid is working for him. He is his number one general.
So he was on the, let's say, on his wages.
There we go. But the thing is that Sancho is not happy enough. Because remember the sisters, Urraca and Elvira?
Yes.
Well, the thing is that Urraca, she's a tough girl. And she makes the city of Zamora to go grow and grow and grow. And Sancho is not happy. So he goes, takes El Cid, and he takes all of that. And he says, I'm going to take the city of Zamora against my sister. There's a lot of battles, a lot of wars into the city of Zamora. And at the end, the king, Sancho, dies in Zamora. What happens next is that the brother, Alphonse, the one that was sent to Toledo, he comes back to León and he proclaims himself as a king. El Cid now is going to start working for Alphonse. So one of the things that you said at the beginning, that El Cid, he works once for one king, then for another king, then for another, he changes. He is with whoever is a good king, or I don't want to say a good king. I want to say a good ruler.
Or let's put it this way. Probably he was stepping by the side of the most powerful person at the time.
Yes, maybe the most. Yes and no, because he is with whoever is more powerful, but also whoever is more correct. Because as history falls, continues, and he's going to change again from this new king, Alphonse, the big king now of all Castile, León, and Galicia. He is a king that is not very good, and he's always trying to push it and trying to push it. And he sends, in the year 1079, El Cid all the way to Seville to try to get Seville from the Muslims. He does, but he is attacked on the northern part, so he calls El Cid, hey, come help me. But El Cid is taking care of Seville, so he doesn't respond as fast as the king expects. And the king, he is not a friend of El Cid. For this new king, El Cid is just a general of his army. And he doesn't like that he did not respond fast enough. So he is going to kick El Cid out of his land. So the king banishes El Cid from his kingdom.
I bet he didn't like that.
Oh, he did not like that. It was not a good thing for El Cid. The thing is that he's kicked out, and where does he go? And when we talk El Cid, we're not talking just El Cid. We're talking El Cid and his army. He's a very powerful person. He's a guy who knows how to take care of his people, how to take care of his army. So a lot of people follows him. So he leaves and he finds comfort. He finds good in Zaragoza. Zaragoza, at this moment, we have Muslims. He goes there and he starts working with this Muslim caliph, a caliphate, let's say, Moorish king. Okay. When on one of our episodes, we said that in Middle Ages here in Spain, they were not battling just Christians against Muslims. It was one kingdom against another kingdom for the land, not for the religion. So El Cid, who is a Christian soldier, he joins the caliphate or the kingdom of Zaragoza that happens to be Muslim. He gets along very, very well with the king of Zaragoza. Unfortunately, he dies and he has two children, and he makes a big mistake of dividing the kingdom into the two siblings. And again, as it happened in the Christian kingdom, the brothers hated each other, the Muslim brothers also hated each other, and they tried to conquer one another. And here we have again El Cid in between these brother wars.
Again, I insist, Falcon Crest.
Hey, let me make a little bit more complicated all of this.
Okay, go ahead.
Hey, we need a bad person. Okay, we need the bad character in the book.
Good, good.
Who is going to be this one? Well, in the year 1085, a herd, a huge group of Muslim warriors are going to come into Spain.
Weren't those the Almoravides?
There we go. The Almoravides. This is a different part of the Moorish Empire. They come into Spain and they're huge warriors. And they start getting all of this power, conquering Christian and Muslim kingdoms. As at this moment, as El Cid, he doesn't know who to follow, because he doesn't like any of the two brothers, the Muslim brothers. The king, Alphonse, the one from León, the big king that has kicked him out, he's being threatened by the Almoravides. So he says, hey, Cid, I know I kicked you out, but do you mind coming back? And Cid says, sure, I'll come back and help you with the Almoravides. He fights them again, back and forth, but Cid is not happy with this. And yet again, he confronts the king, and the king is going to banish him again out of his land. Where is he going to? The Cid is going to go to Valencia, all the way by the coast, where we do have another Muslim caliphate. He now works again for the Muslims.
That sounds to me a little bit like if he, like I said before, like if he works for whoever is paying him better.
As I said, I don't think it's about who's making it better. I think he's working for whoever who is more fair. When he's banished from the kingdom of León, he leaves happy because he doesn't like Alphonse. When he leaves Zaragoza between the wars of the brothers, he doesn't like neither of them. He was very good with the father because the father was a very good ruler. The two brothers, they could only care about themselves. They didn't care about the people. So he was always moving around. The thing is that he goes back to the city of Valencia. In the year 1092, King Alphonse wants to conquer Valencia. So he moves his troops to Valencia. And again, now El Cid is going to fight against Alphonse. Alphonse loses, but on the other side, the Almoravids are coming in, and the Almoravids are going to conquer the city of Valencia. At this moment, as the Muslim brothers from Zaragoza, they have fought each other and it's crazy, a Christian kingdom has been born in Zaragoza, the kingdom of Aragon. El Cid likes the king of Aragon. They get together and they fight the Almoravids and they reconquer the city of Valencia. Well, as you can see, this is very, very, very crazy. The thing is that he becomes powerful in Valencia. It's just not just the city of Valencia, it's Valencia and all the surrounding towns around it. He gets now very well with the kingdom of Aragon. That is a kingdom that is growing a lot. And this is a moment where I don't want to say he becomes a king, but he becomes the ruler of all of this area. He's a person who welcomes Christians. He's a person who welcomes Muslims. He's a person who doesn't care about your religion. Are you good to the society? Are you bringing things to this not so-called kingdom of Valencia? If you're that way, you're welcome with El Cid. The thing is that El Cid, by the way, he got married and he had one son and two daughters. Unfortunately, in the year 1097, his son dies. And this is when everything changes because he is now not anymore a young kid, El Cid. He is much older and he was expecting to leave all of his properties, all of his kingdom to his son. But now his son is dead. He goes in a big depression and he cannot handle this uncertainty of Muslims, Almoravids, Christians. He's like, I don't know what to do. Do I follow Alphonse? So he decides to break from all of this Spanish situation and he works directly with the Pope. And he says, hey, you know, take me as a Christian, not kingdom, but as a Christian supporter, and I will be with you. So he's working for the Pope. Unfortunately, 2 years later, in the year 1099, El Cid is going to die.
And that is when the legend started about being so powerful, winning so many battles on both sides, in Christians and the Arabic side as well. And like about a century later, something came up on Spanish literature.
Well, there we go. The most important epic poem in Spain, El Cantar del Mio Cid.
Which in English is the Song of El Cid, the greatest Hispanic epic poem. By the way, it is anonymous. Nobody knows who wrote that. But, you know, the myth and the legend was already there. And as you said, in Spanish is El Cantar del Mio Cid. It's like an old Latin expression. And it was composed, supposed to be composed at the end of the 12th century or beginning of the 13th. We know it was completed by the year 1207. And it was copied from a manuscript in which it, in turn, it is the only remaining copy left today. The first and two of the inside pages are missing, dating from the 14th century and stored in the National Library here in Madrid.
Jorge, what else do we know about this poem?
Well, yeah, as I said, it was anonymous and there is some pages missing, but we know that the date of the poem recording the copy is supported by a kind of a series of indications based on material culture, institutional organization, and ideological motivations. There is a lot of that exist as to where it was written, some saying that it was in Burgos and others near the area of Medinaceli, currently in the province of Soria, northeast of Madrid. The proximity of El Cantar to the customs and aspirations of the inhabitants of the frontier between Castile and Al-Andalus gives more weight to the second hypothesis. And just to finish with this kind of synopsis about this epic poem, you know, the potential sources of information about the hero, the author of El Cantar, most certainly based his story on oral tradition, and it also seems likely that he knew the history quoted earlier. So there's not much more to say about that. What I need to say here is that it's a beautiful example of the literature at the time. And as I said, it's the only copy, original copy available is in the National Library here in Madrid. And in certain occasions is when you can see, you cannot touch it by all means, because don't forget there was no paper in those days. The printing, it was done by hand, and also the material used was papyri. That's why it's still, I mean, papyri can last for centuries and centuries. We have the Egyptian papyrus, but paper, as we know them today, is doesn't last that long. So yes, guys, if you are in Madrid and you have the chance to be when the thing is exposed, I have to tell you that you know it must be worth. I have seen the very first printed edition by a printer of the Don Quixote de la Mancha, and it was I got the goosebumps. I never saw this one of El Cid, you know, the poem, but I would love to. There's one of the things, and besides the exhibits in the National Library, they are all of them beautiful.
Regarding this El Cantar del Mio Cid, this epic poem, really, it shows the greatness of the hero and all of these things as very strong and powerful. Yet, historically speaking, what we have tried to share on the in this podcast is his life, the real, as far as we know of real life. In the poem, it's much more, when you read it, I think it shows more his Christian side, not when he is with the Muslims. And probably that is why one of the heroes of General Franco here in Spain, it was El Cid. El Cid was a big representation of that Spanish power. And because he's battling the Moors and he's, you know, Spain, which is in the book, but not in the history books. Okay, so that's one of the big symbols. And in fact, Franco, one of his favorite movies, we started talking on this podcast about El Cid with Charlton Heston and Sophia Loren.
No, please don't tell me it's that movie.
Well, Franco liked the movie, and he, when they were shooting, he sent censors to make sure that what was being said, it was okay.
Oh, why it doesn't surprises me.
Well, hey. Well, and guess what? The for the very scary extreme right wing growing right now in Spain, I've heard a couple of the politicians making small references to El Cantar del Mio Cid, which is like, are we gonna get this guy
Again?
again? This is like, wow, scary.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Obviously, he has nothing to do with all of these, okay? I mean, To me, he was a hero, more than a hero, an example of acceptance. I mean, I don't care about your religion. If you're good, I'll be with you. I don't care if you're Jewish, if you're Muslim, if you're Christian. Are you good? I'm with you. If you're not good, I'm not with you. So to me, that's the symbol of El Cid. That's what connects with me. I think he's a very good person. I think he's, I mean, good person in the 11th century when you kill everybody, okay? he's a very fair person. He is with whoever is a good ruler.
Okay. Did you read the book or the song, sorry, when you were in school?
Yes, they made us read it when we were in school.
Yeah.
And I didn't like it.
So did I, and I didn't get it. That's right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that all of these very dense poems and books that they make you read them when you're in high school, you're too young to understand and get the value of it. When I read it when I was grown up, I loved it. But when I was a kid, I hated it.
Well, Francisco, you have been the leading voice in this podcast. Obviously, yes, you're right. It's one of your heroes. To me, it was just another person of the Spanish history that made, along with the years and the times, you know, in that period of time, part of what today is the country. And it is said that when he was killed in one of the battles in the near the city of Valencia, what they did is they knew that the Moors, that they were really scared about how brave he was. So the legend says that the Christian soldiers, they sat him dead on top of a horse, on a horseback, and they attached him in a way that when the horse was riding or running, it looked like if he was still alive. So the moment when the Moors, they were making another battle or just trying to conquer the city as a final step, once they saw him already dead, but they didn't know, riding and leading the amount of people, you know, soldiers, they just ran away thinking that, oh, well, we got nothing to do here, we better go. And that's, you know, another of the legends regarding this this person, that he won a battle after he was already killed.
Well, it is part of the myth.
Part of the myth, that's right. Well, this was another very interesting chapter of Spanish history in this podcast, Spanish Loops. As usual, just on my side, and I guess that Francisco, you're going to agree with me, that I would like to thank so much to everybody that is still loyal to us and listening us our podcast every single week. And as usual, it's been a pleasure just listening your knowledge about this El Cid Campeador.
Thank you so much, Jorge. It's been a pleasure. And hopefully our listeners have enjoyed our podcast this week. And I shall see you next week.
Yes, hopefully we will be here again next week with another chapter of this podcast. Francisco, thank you very much indeed. And chicos, hasta luego.
Adiós, amigos.
And as usual, we want to thank all our listeners for being there every week, letting us sharing our talks. Follow us in Spanish Loops in Facebook, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or your favorite platform.
And in Instagram, you can find us as the Spanish Loops Podcast, no spaces, all together. If you want to find us the quickest way, just Google Spanish Loops Podcast and you will find us. Hasta la vista, amigos.
See you next week.